Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed, we are, Dan. Dan?
What up, player?
Dan?
What up?
Player, what up, player? When did this happen?
How you doing?
When did this happen?
How you doing, money?
I'm somebody who lives in the present with my slang, and Dan is somebody who knows a lot about not talking right.
Oh, look, look, this podcast today, it's gonna be off the
chain. It's gonna be off the,
it's gonna be on fleek.
No!
It's gonna be Cool Beans.
You're getting worse.
I know.
Actually, I like Cool Beans.
This is a podcast where I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
And that's pretty much what's going on. We got some business to take care of before we get to the show.
What's that?
First of all, I think it, is only right that we, re-announce that we were going to be in Austin, Texas.
Hey!
At Beerland, doing a live episode on June 15th. Do we know the time?
Probably between 7 and 12.
I would assume something
somewhere
like
around
that.
There.
Yeah. So,
I never asked. We could be, going on at midnight. I have no idea.
We will figure that out and get back to you.
Who knows?
For now, TBD.
Yeah.
We will be there. Tickets, I don't think are available yet, but we will let you know as more details and, all that stuff becomes available. But
absolutely. It's a bit early. We're still in April, but, we booked it. We're going.
We look forward to meeting all of our Texas peeps, living down there in occupied Texas.
Oh, of course.
Also, boy, I can't thank everybody enough who's donated to the show. And so we have to do a prolonged, naming ceremony.
It's going long.
We got a number of policy wonks to give shouts out to, otherwise it's going to get way too backed up.
Is it shouts out or is it shout out?
I think it's shouts out. Like,
I think you might be right.
Editors
yeah.
in chief. That
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Attorneys general.
Exactly.
Yes, there you go.
So first, I'll give a shout out to a new policy wonk, someone who's been with the team for a long time. Very excited to see them donating. Very excited. Thank you so much, Julia.
I'm a policy wonk.
Oh, thank you very much, Julia Stiles. We have loved you ever since the firstborn.
Absolutely. I loved you in, Save the Last Dance.
That was great.
Loved you in the Born Supremacy? No, Identity?
No, she was in the Identity, and then she came back later in the Supremacy.
Okay. I don't remember which movies were which. they're all the same.
They all kind of blend together.
Also, I'd like to give a shout out and a thank you to Andy.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Andy, where do you live? Andy, where are you from? Andy, tell me right now.
In Kansas.
No!
Also, I'd like to give a shout out to, I apologize about this, because it could be Nikki or Nishi. I'm not entirely sure. It's N-I-C-H-I. Either way, no matter how you pronounce it, we appreciate you. You know how I pronounce your name? Policy wonk.
I'm a policy
boo.
Wonk.
Boo!
Don't boo over the
boo.
Policy.
Boo! I'm sorry.
I've got to redo it
you,
now.
You hurt. You, okay.
Anyway, this is for you.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. You said policy. It's terrible.
Some would argue that was smooth.
I would not.
We have a couple other people to give a shout out to, donated, and are now globalists.
Oh shit!
So I'd like to give another shout out to and a thank you to you out there, Sam.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 star. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sam Levine. I loved you.
Sam the ma'am?
Sam the ma'am Levine. Little Logan.
Very combative and angry, but at the same time, very generous, and we appreciate you joining up with the team.
Speaking of which, I found out that I'm working with Doug Benson on May 6th. He's going to be in downtown Zany, so that'll be fun.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
We'll talk after the show.
Nah.
I'd like to give another shout out to one more globalist before we move along to the episode. Thank you so much, Michelle.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. And
anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Michelle Williams. I love every single movie that you've ever been in. She's amazing. She's so good.
What was that?
So good.
What was that one with? Was she in that one with Julia Stiles and Heath Ledger?
What?
That one? 10 Things I Hate About You?
Is she in that one?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I feel like she's not.
I don't remember.
She's like a really good actress.
She
though.
Is great. I don't yeah, know. Yeah. I don't know a lot of movies.
She was in a dystopia film with Andrew Garfield where they
talking
are
Spider-Man?
No, that's pretty dystopian though.
Sure.
Actually, that's just our world being dystopian where Spider-Man is rebooted every other week.
There's a grim present.
No, it's they are organ farms.
Sure.
So like a bunch of clones and shit get birthed and their entire lives they're just there to give away their organs. It's brutal.
Okay.
It's kind of a bad movie, but I loved it.
Great.
It's very good.
Thrilled to hear it. Tell Doug Benson about it. I hear he loves movies.
All right, Dan. I'm trying to relate to you on a human level.
This isn't the way.
Well, you know what I'd name you?
Mm.
Asshole.
Well, one of the ways to relate to me on a human level is if you'd like to donate to the show.
Now that was smooth.
You can do so by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, and clicking support the show. We really appreciate it so much. The chat room is saying that movie was called The Island.
No, that's not that movie.
Okay, chat room's wrong.
It's some long ass fucking name.
Let's not deal with it.
Not important.
I'm sorry I re-brought it up.
Yeah.
But you can donate if you'd like to. We really appreciate it. And I can't thank everybody who's donated enough. We're really making strides. We're almost at the point where this is a viable life, for me in terms of a 9-to-5 job. And I'm starting to realize that I hate to do so much business up top before we get to the actual show.
Uh-huh.
But I realized that we just crossed our original goal. That we set back when we started accepting donations,
uh-huh.
a goal that I thought we would never reach.
Yeah.
Because I thought no one was ever going to donate to this show. I thought it
bucks?
Was absurd. Exactly. But we set that goal, and the reward for reaching that goal was that we were going to do a breakdown of one of Alex's documentaries.
Yeah.
Which we've already done.
Right.
So we can't do that to reward people because we already did it.
No, you could finish the fucking bracket.
Oh boy, I could do that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll work on that.
Okay.
But the other thing is, if we we're very close to reaching another goal, or uh-huh. we're like maybe 75% of the way to another goal, and the reward for that goal was we would do a live show in Chicago, which we've already done, and
right.
now we're doing one in Austin also.
Right. We are really bad at rewarding people based on hard limits.
We just do the things that we say we're going to hold off on.
Yeah, and don't tell you that it didn't, like, we did not tell you that we reached the goal.
No. So we need to come up with some new things. If you have any ideas, any suggestions of things you'd like to see as rewards for us reaching milestones and stuff like that, I'd be very open to input, so please.
Absolutely.
If you'd like to tweet those at us or reach out to us at our group, go home and tell your mother you're brilliant.
Right.
On Facebook.
If we reach another $2,000 in donations, we will totally do a show in Sweden.
We're nowhere near that.
We will totally do a
Let's
show
be clear,
for you.
We're nowhere near that.
Nowhere near that.
Yeah, we'd go to Sweden. Sure.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, for that kind of money, I'd go to Sweden tomorrow.
Or our Finland listeners.
Oh, yeah.
We'd go to all of Lapland. But be that.
But only there.
Yes. Yeah.
We won't go to any of those other countries.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Let us know. Anyway, on to today's show. So,
yes.
Jordan, we're recording this on Thursday, April 19th. And today Owen Schroyer hosted the show, so nothing to do with that show. Boo. We're going to be going over Wednesday's show,
uh-huh.
April 18th. And this is the day after the news breaks that Alex Jones, has been sued by Sandy Hook families.
Of course.
So he's in a strange mood. I don't want to talk too much about that, although it will come up at the end of the episode, so don't think we're ignoring that.
Uh-huh.
He teases that he's going to give a statement on it, and he's going to talk about it. He said he's going to give up us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Does not say so, help
me. In classic Alex fashion, he will not.
Does not say
anywhere
so, help
close.
Me God, though.
Yeah. Oh!
Note that.
Well, he doesn't need God's help to give the truth, Dan!
Certainly not. But he teases it real hard and only gets to it at the end of the episode, so we'll deal with that along the way. When we get there, there's a lot of stuff going on in this episode that everyone just sort of glossed over because they wanted to, do a little dance about the Sandy Hook stuff. There's some shocking revelations that have been missed, and we will be discussing a number of them. First,
who would have guessed shocking revelations were missed because people do not listen to the entire show, Dan?
Nope.
No one understands why you do, but thank God.
I don't even. So in this first clip where we're going to start, Alex Jones has some choice words to say about James Comey.
Almost?
No. Former director of the FBI.
Gotcha.
James, I keep trying to come up with a middle name. I don't know what his middle
Captain
name is.
Captain of Battlestar Galactica.
Super thrilled to see those pictures of him hanging out with Method Man and Ghostface on Twitter.
Weird.
And then I was very
weird. Makes me uncomfortable in so many ways.
Very disappointed to find out it was backstage at a talk show.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was just the two.
They just hang out?
Yeah.
Like in Coffee and Cigarettes when yes. Bill Murray just shows up
100%.
And the RZA and the GZA are hanging out?
100%.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping for, and I was very, very hurt.
This is ghost busting Bill Murray.
Well, the idea of, like, if you went back to, like, the early 90s and you're like, you know, the 36 Chambers had just come out and you're like, you know what? In about 25, 27 years, you are going to be hanging out backstage at a talk show with the former director of the Federal Bureau of Investigations.
And it's going to be cool.
Yeah. They're going to
be. For no reason.
They're going to be smiling.
Truly, we are in the darkest timeline.
It's very weird.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So anyway, Alex talks some shit about Jim Comey, but there's something really interesting that, you need to track in here. And that is that he's aware that, like, boy, people keep suing me.
I mean, he just radiates, I'm a criminal. He radiates, I'm disingenuous. He radiates, I'm a pervert. In my view, Comey looks like a child molester. Okay?
All right.
Go ahead and sue me. I didn't say you're a child molester. I said you look like a child molester to me. I wouldn't let you near my kids.
Okay.
Now, you say Trump, you don't know, maybe Trump's gets pissed on by women.
I say Trump motto.
There's no proof, but you said maybe he does.
So now here's the difference between those two things. I just think it's very important to point out. First of all, I love the being like, sue me for
super that. Self-aware about like, now I am watching every single thing I say for whether or not I will be sued, but I'm going to pretend like I don't even care about
it. I have to be very clear that I said that I think you look like this thing.
Right.
I know the law. But then the other thing, the reason that I paused here is that he's like, you come out and you say maybe Trump got pissed on, maybe he didn't, or whatever. When Comey was being interviewed and talking about that, like, the reason he said that is because he did an investigation. It was inconclusive, and he was asked about it.
Yeah,
no
he's
one.
Like, I mean, hey, I worked with Trump. Totally could have happened,
but he like,
couldn't prove it though.
If he's asked by a late night talk show host or George Stephanopoulos about it, he can't say, "Of course he did." He can't say no. He also probably can't do the, like, I can neither confirm or deny
right.
that sort of boilerplate
well, that's
language.
Well, bullshit, though. Everybody right. would be disappointed and pissed off about that.
Right, exactly.
You wish everybody, look, I want him to go away, period. He is the worst. Fuck the head of the FBI. Fuck the former head of the FBI. Fuck the FBI, period.
Fine, but that's not the point here.
I'm sorry.
The point is that he answered a question in the way that's appropriate for him to answer, because he did an investigation into whether or not this tape was real, and he said, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
He doesn't know.
Alex has not done an investigation into whether James Comey does or does not look like a pedophile. No one asked him his thoughts on the matter. It's just a complete... It's a very bad equivalence that he's making. A
little bit.
So, Comey, maybe you have sex with little kids. I'm not saying you do. It's not defamation. I'm saying maybe you do. Maybe you're a Martian from Pluto.
You say this, you say what?
The media
thing,
wants to take your gloves off. Let's do it. Let's get in the arena, Jack. I'm here to ram heads with you. I'm here to take you down. Liberty or death. Victory or death. No surrender.
We all can remember back in April of last year when he was being sued by Hamdi Ulakaya of Chobani
Victory
Yogurt.
Victory or death. I will fight this till my dying day.
On this, I will stand.
This is the hill I shall die on. I apologize, by the way.
2 days later,
legally,
public apology.
I apologize 100%. It turns out they wanted a lot of money, and I'm totally going to apologize.
Oh, it turns out I forgot what I said.
Yeah.
Oh,
who knows?
Jesus, I committed defamation.
Whoa.
Also, I think you're pushing the envelope of like what you should do when you're in Alex Jones in that last bit of it when he's like, maybe you have sex with children. Like,
who knows? Who knows?
Ooh.
I mean, that is defensible insofar as maybe everybody does or does not have sex with children, but they don't. Comey is like 6'6". He's super
giant,
tall.
Yeah.
His reach is too far for Alex. There's no way.
I bet
Alex is out of shape. Comey probably exercises. No chance.
I bet Method Man and Ghostface were trying to enlist him for a pickup basketball game. He's
I
huge.
Do not think they were.
You need a big man in the center. He's huge.
No, you don't. Basketball has changed. Now it's all about wings, oh, man. It's true. All about 3-and-D guys.
Yeah,
you gotta,
you're right.
You gotta raise up your 3%.
I'm living back in the 90s.
Yeah, I know.
Back when I watched.
Basketball's yeah. grown from there.
Now, right.
It's all about, analytics now, Dan.
I'm hearing from the chat room he's 6'8", which is not that big
That's
for a basketball
crazy
player.
Crazy tall.
It's not big for a basketball
yeah,
player.
Yeah, well, you know.
My premise is out the window.
What's his
I get it.
Man?
You guys come from a bunch of cowardly scum. I don't. To me, it's not even courage. It's my genetics.
E.
Victory or death.
Uh-huh.
Victory or death. You understand?
E, I get it.
Victory or death. So the left is all on their ramming speed right now.
Ramming speed.
They're going Whoa. All out. Well, good. You're finally going to man up a little bit. We've stood up to you finally, and your reign of terror is coming to an end, and you're finally going to have to get out in the open and lose some skin in the game. I've already lost a lot of skin, Jack. I'm ready to lose
money.
All my skin and all my treasure and the whole thing because my house
in the middle of
House
history.
Jones doesn't have a future if we don't beat you. So my whole house is in.
You should ask your house about
And your
that.
Houses are in now too, and you know it, don't you? So we'll see whose houses, House Soros or House Jones, has victory at the end of this. Because I know how history works.
Do you?
My destruction is the seeds of your sure destruction, fools.
Fools. I think he's talking about Star Wars.
Is he doing Star Wars? Yeah. I feel like he's doing Star Wars. That's not history.
No.
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 Afraid not.
You strike me down, I become a symbol.
Yeah, you don't, Alex. If you get struck down, everybody's like, one, everybody like us is like, nah, well, I guess we gotta move on. Or two, everybody's like, who? Why?
I mean,
what an asshole.
But you know what? Like, I mean, if he does, like, let's say someone kills him or something like that, which I think would be terrible. But like, if someone
would
did,
it?
Yeah, I would. It would. It would always be bad. But I think that if it did happen, I'd be like, boy, I kind of get why that happened. I think it's a shame. I certainly
right.
am not for it, but
right.
I would look at it and be like, these are kind of the consequences of this incredibly bigoted, violent rhetoric that he puts out into the world.
Absolutely.
You're going to end up getting people so activated in a certain way, in a negative way, that I see how that happens.
Yeah, if you want to go with the house metaphor,
no.
Alex, the House of Jones getting taken down is not the Red Wedding. The House of Jones getting taken down is the Lannisters getting murdered.
It's interesting.
Everybody's kind of cool with that.
It's interesting that you bring that up because in this episode, Alex Jones straight up steals the Game of Thrones theme song and uses it for a clip video.
Okay.
Listen to this.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
How is it that this organization is so well funded, so organized?
Islamic State-linked militants have gained a stronger foothold in Libya.
So that goes on for
rather
like,
watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I do. I would too.
Yeah.
That goes on like 2.5-3 minutes. It's the entire Game of Thrones theme song. I don't think that falls under fair use. I think that probably is illegal.
Yeah, no, I'm probably going to go with that.
Did they
secure the rights for that?
If any of our listeners want to tweet at the composer of that Game of Thrones theme and see if he is interested in...
Oh, he's totally got a solid cease and desist order there.
Yeah, telling him to stop. Go ahead and do that. He seems like a cool guy. He also worked on the Blade Trinity soundtrack.
Oh, God.
With the RZA. Anyway,
it's full circle, man.
It is.
It's all around there.
I forget that no one was listening to our pre-show conversation about Blade Trinity. Anyway, in this next clip, Alex talks about how fucking, how cool he is.
Also, if you are listening, just kind of imagine our pre-show conversations always being about Blade Trinity.
Yeah,
that's basically what we talk
there's
about.
There's a lot of ground to cover.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this next clip, Alex Jones. First of all, he's a thrifty dude. And second of all, he has integrity with money.
We have record all-time highest traffic to Infowars.com and Newswars.com right now. And yes, it takes a lot to fight these lawsuits, but I'm not selling a wide-body $50 million jet like Glenn Beck is. I fly a lot of the time in coach.
What? A lot of the time?
When it's some long trip or something, I'm not spending $6,000, $7,000 to fly first class to places like Europe. I'm in coach, baby.
Yeah,
now,
baby.
Sure, I could pay and be in first class, but then I wouldn't have the money to build this operation.
I mean, I am in business.
I wouldn't have the money to fight the globalist attacks. I am a war machine against the globalist. I am here committed to go all the way to the end. I want to make that clear. Don't let them make you think I'm losing by all these attacks. We're winning, and they know it, and they're pissed.
Nope.
I really don't think so.
Also,
wasn't the reign of terror almost over, and at the same time, never mind.
Also,
these guys are terrible.
Also,
he's not good at this.
When you think of War Machine, you think about that Ultimate Fighter who beat the shit out of his girlfriend because he thought he was cheating on her, that porn actress.
Oh,
left her just completely, brutalized.
I was thinking of the Avengers, but yours is way worse.
Well, I think that's the most recent. I don't think War Machine is relevant in the MCU. Is he?
Yeah, absolutely. In Civil War, he got paralyzed for like 25 seconds, and then immediately he was saved by Stark technology or whatever.
I don't watch nerd movies.
They're very low stakes in the MCU.
Nerd! Anyway, the other thing is, Alex, how many boats do you own? How much of that money is coming from the operation? How much could you save?
Well, he flies with those boats in coach. Come on,
right,
man. He's not gonna fly first class for his boats.
Can you imagine how bad that would be if you're just trying to take a flight? Here comes Alex with one of his boats.
Ooh.
Coming down the aisle.
Oh.
You don't even have the window seat.
Not fitting that in the overhead compartment.
Ridiculous. So.
Can you imagine sitting right next to Alex Jones on like a United flight?
Yeah, I can.
Especially, oh no, if you're on Southwest where everybody lines up, there's no way he's lining up at his right ticket number.
No.
He's fucking going right ahead.
Yeah.
He's gonna claim that he's a paraplegic.
If I was sitting next to him on a flight, I'd pretend I was a globalist. I'd fuck with him. Cause we've seen how susceptible he is.
You know we're coming for you.
Alex, so glad you're here.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you something.
Ugh.
I'm half sheep. Something like
Alex,
that.
Alex, I was born in one of the proto-cow tanks.
You know what, though? I actually could fuck with him. Because I've talked about this before on the air. My
He's an easy lay.
Well, not like that.
All right.
My dad has an interesting, like, parallel to Barack Obama throughout some of his education and early life.
Insofar as he wasn't an American citizen when he got elected?
Not that part.
All
Call
right.
Larry Nichols about that.
Okay.
My dad was at Harvard at the same time that Barack Obama was there.
Cool.
And then my dad was at the East-West Center, which is a research organization that he went to right after he got his doctorate.
Uh-huh.
It's in Honolulu, Hawaii.
By the way, pick a side.
What do you mean?
I mean, are you East or are you West?
Oh, no, it's about...
Can't be both.
It's about merging the East and West in terms of study and cultural study and stuff like that. But anyway, Obama was associated with the East-West Center, and Alex brings that up as a conspiracy. I've been there many times in my early life.
Uh-huh.
I could just get on a plane and be like, look, my dad is deeply involved on this
level. Oh, yeah, you could fucking crush it.
He knew Obama back in college. Look at the records. I could do something like that. It would be fun. It would be really fun if I was stuck on a plane. I could really fuck with his head.
Yeah, but if you were just a guy... Fuck that. He would suck to be on a plane with.
I gotta be, well, not if you know how to play the game.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
Half sheep or new conspiracy. That's the only way you play it on that plane. Anyway.
Half sheep or new conspiracies. A lot of people say that in a lot of different situations in life.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of hearing
that's
it.
That's evergreen.
If I had a dollar for every time.
Oh, every time it's like half sheep or I don't even know anymore.
In this next clip, we deal with some of recent events. That have made people a little bit mad, and rightfully so.
Oh, hungry.
In the West, in the U.S., and in Europe, they then get all the big corporate CEOs to a man and woman who almost pay no taxes, who are multinational, international, diplomatic immunity, to further try to create white guilt and exacerbate tensions. And then if it happens that you have, obviously, a black activist, leftist activist come in, they won't buy anything, they want to use the bathroom, they sit there in the restaurant... You have a policy that you can't do that. What restaurant wouldn't throw you out if you just came and said, I'm going to sit here? No, I don't want to be seated. I just want to sit here. They said, what are yours? You have a flat tire or something? Is somebody coming to get you? No, I'm just going to sit here. Well, sorry, policy, you can't. You at least got to buy some coffee. You know, you got to do something to be in here. Like somebody walks in your tire shop and says, I'm just going to sit here and drink your coffee. You're like, no, get out. No loitering. It's called loitering.
Sure. So, Alex, earlier in the show, I did.
The official position of InfoWars is bathrooms are for customers only, goddammit. Buy a pack of gum.
There was a clip earlier in the show that I didn't, cut because, it was sort of, it got muddy and he started yelling a bunch, about Charlton Heston being on the right side of civil rights.
Of course.
I was like, I don't want to deal with this.
Never happened.
But he thinks that those two gentlemen who got arrested at Starbucks was a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
I'll read to you from this article. Rashawn Nelson initially brushed it off when a Starbucks manager told him he couldn't use the restroom because he wasn't a paying customer. He thought nothing of it when he and his childhood friend and business partner, Dante Robinson, were approached at their table and were asked if they needed help. The 23-year-old entrepreneurs declined, explaining that they were just waiting for a business meeting. A few minutes later, they started noticing, they hardly noticed when the police came into the coffee shop and officers started walking in their direction. Quote, that's when we knew she called the police on us, Nelson told the Associated Press in their first interview by the two black men since video of their April 12th trespassing arrest touched off a furor in the United States over racial profiling or what has been dubbed retail racism or shopping while black. Nelson and Robinson were led away in handcuffs from the shop in the city's well-to-do Rittenhouse Square neighborhood in an incident recorded on white customers' cell phones. In the week since, the men have met with the Starbucks apologetic CEO and have started pushing for lasting change in the coffee shop chain, including new policies on discrimination and ejecting customers. Quote, we do want to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody again, Robinson said. What if it wasn't us sitting there? What if it was a kid that didn't know somebody that knew somebody? Do they make it to jail? Do they die? What happens? On Thursday, they also got an apology from the Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross, a black man who at first staunchly defended his officer's handling of the encounter. Quote, I should have said that the officers acted within the scope of the law and not that they didn't do anything wrong, Ross said. Words are very important. At a press conference, at the press conference, a somber Ross said he, quote, failed miserably in addressing the arrests. He said that the issue of race was not lost on him and he shouldn't be the person making things worse. Shame on me if in any way I've done that, he said. Now, what you got to realize is...
I guess contrition is nice. I don't know. I don't know, man.
But what you got to understand is this isn't a publicity stunt. These two dudes ended up spending about 12 hours in prison.
What?
They didn't get out until midnight.
Wait, what?
They were held in prison until midnight, and they only got out because the district attorney declined to prosecute them. Like, this is a...
All right.
This is a really fucked up thing.
Great, America.
They made these,
good work, guys.
They made them sit in a cell to the point where one of them was, specifically went on record and said, I don't think I'm going to make it out. I don't think I'm going to survive this holding. It's incredibly fucked up. And the idea that Alex is just dismissing it as like, oh, these are just black activists, publicity stunt.
What?
Yeah, it's
what?
Crazy.
What?
It's crazy. Crazy.
I mean, fucking come on. If you were white, they would have said, hey, go away. Even if the cops were called, the cops would have been like, okay, now you have left Starbucks, so go home.
I can't
do something else.
I can't count the number of times that I've gone into Starbucks, used the bathroom, and left. I can't count the number of times I've been to my therapist's office too early. There's a Starbucks down the street. I sit there for like 15 minutes. No one bothers me. I don't buy anything, and I sit on my phone.
Use the Wi-Fi. Doesn't fucking matter.
I also should tell you, I used to manage a Starbucks.
Right.
I know about their corporate policies.
Right.
So that comes into play a little bit into this next clip.
Do you have a card or something that allows you to be part of any Starbucks you ever want to go to? You've just flashed this I can always use the bathroom card.
No, I quit unceremoniously from that job. If anything, they should be barring me. They should call the police when I show up based on the, can't come in to manage the store tomorrow. Got a better job. Gotta go. That shit. One of the reasons Alex is talking about Starbucks is in response to this uproar about this incident that is legitimately fucked up.
No, it's gigantic racism on a mass scale that is just right in the public eye. We're in 2018. Imagine how long we've been going through this shit.
Yeah.
And it's all of the time. Mm-hmm. It's all of the time in America. Two black men cannot do anything without being at a 60% risk of having the cops called on them. It's insane.
We come down to, and Alex is manifesting it in that last clip. is this trend that dumb people have. It's not dumb. It's people with unexamined bigotry and bias in them. And even to
otherwise some, known as bigotry and bias.
Well, but I think we all have some sort of bigotry that we try and work against. The problem is when it's unexamined and when you just allow it to exist unchecked. And that's what Alex is manifesting. And what it does is it criminalizes black behavior that you would forgive and look the other way when white people do it. And a lot of people, I would say, don't recognize that that is something they do. It's very threatening to your identity to think that you do it. And it's a mess. It's a complete mess. It's disgraceful.
Yeah, well.
No other comment.
What is it? 60% of white people support Trump? So fuck off. That's it. No, I think it's actually, I think it's actually closer to like 80%.
No, it's not.
I think
it's
it is.
It's not that high. You're talking about that stat that just came out about evangelical Christians.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was fuck like, them. That was like, fuck every evangelical Christian alive now.
I think it was like mid 70s, support for him in evangelical communities and like 30s for the general public. It's crazy.
Fucking unreal.
So that event happened at Starbucks, and Starbucks announced that they were going to do some
close
sensitivity
every store
training, which is good. I don't know if it'll work, but God bless them for trying something.
Are they going to then research some way to give those guys 12 hours of their life back?
I think, from what I've seen, I'm very glad that it ended as decently as it
as
did.
As amicably as it did? Yeah. Because it's entirely possible they could have been murdered by the cops. That's a totally legitimate fear. That's a totally legitimate fear. I went to Starbucks to have a business meeting, and then I was murdered by the fucking cops. There was a fucking 60-40 chance that that was going to happen.
60-40 seems high, but it's a real possibility. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's a mess. So it is good to address these issues. I don't know if corporations are best.
No. Fit. Answer is no.
No, of course not. Cause you've had jobs before and they've had like, the videos you have to watch about, harassment and stuff like that.
Right.
No one really takes it seriously.
Of course not.
You know, all that shit. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to be effective, but be that as it may. That happened. There was an uproar about it. And then some guy made a video.
Some guy made a video comment coming from you.
I think it's actually kind of funny.
Okay.
So there's this guy, and he made a video of him going into Starbucks, and I haven't watched the rest of his videos. He might be a total asshole. I have no idea. But it seems to me this guy, because I watched the video in question, and it's him, and he's like, I'm about to go into this Starbucks and get my reparations coffee. I'm going to go get my free coffee.
I like it.
And so he goes in.
I'm a big fan.
So he goes in, and he's like, hey, I heard y'all are racists. I want a free coffee. And the person behind the counter is like, oh, I heard that story. That is really fucked up. Yeah, I'll give you a coffee. So that is.
All right. Now
that's the video. Ugh. Alex is going to set it up. And then again, as someone who has managed a Starbucks, I have some things to say on the other end of this.
Okay. Story. Okay.
So this fella, it's up on Infowars.com. It's
there it is.
Hotep Jesus at Vibe High. I'm going to get him on the show.
Natural ally of
goes
Alex
goes into
Jones.
The Starbucks.
Bubba
the stunt was in response
Jesus?
To the news that Starbucks is set to close 8,000 stores for an afternoon for race-based training. And also I have an article here that the type of race-based training they're doing, implicit association test, the professors that developed it said it's a fraud and doesn't work. So, again, it's all about creating white guilt. And so he walks in and talks to this young woman working, going to college at the same time. And she says, oh, I heard about that, about the racism of Starbucks. Yes, here's your free coffee. So let's go ahead and roll that video.
Everybody go inside, get my free coffee. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Are y'all ready?
He's mugging to the camera and like having a great time.
Of course.
And the two,
why wouldn't you?
He goes in and he gets the coffee and the two of them, like him and the person who's working there, have a really nice conversation and it ends up being like, this is actually my last shift before I end up going back to school, got finals and stuff like that. He's like, oh, I hope you have a good time with that. Best of luck with that.
Yeah.
You're very nice. Because the stunt didn't quite work. Cause I don't think that, I honestly think that guy was trying to make a comedy video And the person behind the counter was super nice, and he's like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna beat her up.
I think the plan was actually to make a whole mess of things and be like, I deserve whole thing, and then wait to come back.
It's unclear exactly, but here's what I know based on being someone who used to manage a Starbucks.
If Starbucks had said, okay, change the game. We're not closing 8,000 stores for race bias training. Every black person gets free coffee for a day. That's a whole weirder situation. Yeah. I think I prefer that. It's like when Taco Bell gives you a free taco for Taco Tuesday or whatever.
It's a little different.
Taco Day. I mean, it's a little bit different.
A little bit different.
But I'd be fine with it.
Well, see, here's the thing. Starbucks, they make their coffee, and then every about 2 hours, you gotta flip it. And so they end up with tons of coffee that they don't end up selling. The company is keenly aware of that and wants to nurture the image of being a friendly establishment. So, generally speaking, managers are trained and to encourage their employees to give coffee to homeless people that come in because they know it's just going down the drain anyway.
Uh-huh.
And if you can create this sort of place where people feel safe, feel cared for, that sort of thing, you get much more mileage out of that than the coffee you're going to throw away because it's not fresh anymore. You would always be giving coffee to people who come in, but that doesn't address this piece. The other piece is they know they're throwing away the coffee, and they know that these people are close to minimum wage, low paid employees. They don't want to fight. So if anyone comes in and is like, I demand X, Y, or Z, you just give it to them.
Right.
Because that's how it works in the service industry, generally speaking, when there's no loss for the company and, oh, what do you want? Your employee to get into a fight with this guy who's clearly videotaping it?
Right.
Or whatever. It's absolutely protocol for you to just be like, here you go.
Well, it's like how now if you shoplift, employees are trained to be like, get on out of here.
Let them go.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
What are we doing?
It's not worth it to argue. It's not worth it to try and chase down somebody trying to steal something that's insured anyway or isn't a loss to the business.
Right. Unless you're Orlando Jones in The Replacements.
Sure. I don't remember that movie.
It's great.
So anyway.
I watch it at least 3 times a year.
There's a few.
It's fantastic.
There's a few things that I can take away from this clip.
Really anti-union movie, which is strange.
Yeah. But is it?
Yeah, it's super anti-union. If you analyze what's going on inside that movie, it's purely anti-union and pro-ownership. It's bananas.
Hmm.
It's like every argument that you've ever heard somebody make where it's like, oh, these baseball players are overpaid. And you're like, if they didn't get the money, it's going more towards billionaires.
Yeah.
There's all that money. Give them the money. They're the ones who are making all the good stuff.
Sure.
Anyways.
There's a, I'm sorry, I don't
I could talk about the replacements for so long, it's insane.
That will replace Blade Trinity in the next pre-show. So, the thing here too is that a little bit later, Alex does say something to the effect of, if black people aren't happy here, they should go to Africa.
A lot of people
have.
But the people that we know in Africa are like,
in the South,
white people should leave.
Yeah, that is murky territory for
it's
him
very
rhetorically.
Strange yeah
but a lot of people have been posting clips about that, and I've seen it posted, and like, oh, this is super racist, and like Alex Jones says tons of racist things. I think that this one is,
I don't think we've ever documented any
hundreds of them, but yeah. I think this one is actually slightly unfair because I think people are taking him a little bit out of context, because he's not saying go back to Africa or anything like that. What he's saying isn't okay, but what he means by it and what isn't being captured by the people who are critiquing it is what he's saying is, you should look at what's going on over there and be like, oh, it's good over here. It's still bad.
Which is an even worse non-argument.
It's still bad. It's not worse. It's still bad, but it's not the same thing as like, you don't like it here, get out.
I don't know.
Because that's the way it's being pitched.
I think it might be worse.
How?
I think that argument is fucking insane because you can
it
use
is
that.
Insane,
you can use that for literally anything. You can, for any, like, oh, you care about human trafficking? Look at human trafficking elsewhere. Be happy with the status quo wherever you're at. That is a really offensive argument
to
any human being.
It is offensive, and it only leans in towards complacency to a certain extent, but I don't think it's as bad as
it's like whenever people are like, oh, the you think there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans? The Democrats say that we should be incrementally better in some respects and then support the status quo in every other way. Yeah, and then capitulate on every other thing.
You may be right. You may be right. I don't know. It's interesting. The outright white nationalism of you don't like it, get out, versus the stop your complaining, it's worse elsewhere.
The inhumane stop your complaining, yeah. It's worse elsewhere.
I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I don't know how to unpack that, really. They're both bad. I guess that's the bottom line.
I think that's where we land.
Yeah. So
don't say either of those things, dumbass.
They're not great. Speaking of not great, we got a new guest in the house.
Great transition.
We have a new guest.
Okay.
This guy is a street artist. Are you excited?
Hotep Jesus?
No.
All right.
He's a guy named Sabo. Sabo!
That's it?
Yep.
All right. I like the one word name.
Alex fancies him a conservative Banksy.
That doesn't happen. So, make sense anything.
What you really have going on here is a guy who used to, and still does, post a bunch of like pro-Trump street art. And I went to his website and I checked it out.
What does that even look like?
Just weird photoshopped things of like Trump being awesome and giving the bird to people. And,
okay.
Weird Hillary Clinton with a bunch of prison tats and saggy boobs.
I really feel like that's more ironic than anything else. That is only funnier when you realize that he means it.
It's straight up propaganda, just in a different medium. Like, yeah. It's all just Trump propaganda.
But it's a complete backfire. Like, if you saw a street art with Trump giving you the finger, you'd be like, yeah, fuck that guy. You wouldn't be like, no, look at how great he is.
I'm not sure I'd be like that. I wouldn't be like, fuck that guy. I'd be like, this feels familiar. But
did he put that up?
Yeah. The thing that I think is really fucking funny is that this guy's sort of motto or ethos is conservatism is the new punk. And he's very clear that what he means by conservatism is this new Trump, know-nothingy nativist
white nationalism.
Yes, it's that sort of version of conservatism. And
yeah, what is this, the 80s again?
And it's all backing up Trump, right? So I would say the conservatism
poorly. It's backing up Trump poorly.
Conservatism being punk would make sense if back in the late 70s,
okay,
the Sex Pistols, all of their songs were just about the DuPont family.
Okay.
And how awesome they were.
Either that or, like, why did we get rid of Nixon? He was great.
We all remember all of those great classics by the Ramones.
Oh, yeah.
About Howard Hughes, how he should be president.
You know what was amazing about the Velvet Underground? Mm. Love the war on Iraq.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So this guy is a mess. But you should expect that. Here in this first clip we hear of him, we find out some of the company he keeps.
Okay.
You know, I was recently in Austin with the Proud Boys, and three bars asked us to leave. They said, we don't want your type here. And I couldn't help but wonder, what the hell type are you talking about?
The left has gone into just a hysterical authoritarianism.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure.
You don't want the Proud Boys in your bar. That's authoritarian.
By the way, the corporate CEO thing that he mentioned earlier, like what he was talking about was the tax repatriation, I assume.
Maybe.
That is entirely facilitated by Trump's tax plan.
Yeah.
That's his entire goal there. To imagine that it's some sort of globalist plot is insane. It's ridiculous. It's out and out trying to change reality into something that fits within your narrative. Mm-hmm. Now, I know this isn't unusual for Alex Jones. I know this isn't unusual for what we're talking about here.
No.
But within the context of this clip, it's even more egregious. This is fucking stupid. I think the Proud Boys should be banned from every fucking business that there's ever been. There should be... look, if Starbucks closes 8,000 stores for racial bias training...
Mm-hmm.
They should also close 8,000 stores to teach people about the Proud Boys.
And how to throw them out.
And how to
smoothly.
Get rid of them. Yeah.
Just keep yelling cereal names at them. They'll get really excited. They'll be impressed that you can name cereals.
That's, well, everybody is.
Yeah. here from the chat room that the Dead Kennedys wrote California Uber Alice about Jerry Brown being eventually, what's this, being, who cares? All right. I shouldn't read the chat room.
Good work.
I was going to try and pivot that into something about.
Your transition skills failed you, Dan.
Yeah, I was going to try and work that into another punk band writing a song about Lee Iacocca. Just because his name came to me randomly.
All right.
But be that. Nope. Not saying be that as it may. Not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure priests didn't write a song about how great Trump was.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Sabo, throughout this entire thing, Alex is like, street art. Love it. Love street
sure
art.
Sure he does.
He's like, we got to get an InfoWars art thing going. You, Ben Garrison, let's do this. And so he's trying to now make a InfoWars.
Not going
to
lie, I would go to an InfoWars street gallery.
It's not going to happen. This is going to go down much like the Patriot music record label Alex was going to start years ago. But Alex has to walk this, he has to walk this weird line because vandalism is illegal. You know, like, doing these street art things that these installations that Sabo does, it's technically illegal. Now, I'm no narc. I don't give a shit what he does. I'm fine with it. I think he's stupid, but I don't care on the legal aspect. But Alex
and probably working at cross purposes to what he's saying that he should be.
Possibly. It might just remind people about how much they don't like Trump.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of makes Hillary look cool as fuck.
No, you should see that picture. It doesn't look great.
All right.
But, The thing is, Alex has to walk this really weird line where he can't encourage his audience to commit acts of vandalism because that's like, he knows that it's illegal. It's very weird. So he has to sort of figure it out and do the best he can. In this next clip, Sabo talks about the difference between his school of conservatives and these dumb, dumb liberals.
The thing is, Republicans, they just want to have barbecues and raise their kids and have a job. Everyone on the left is politically active.
Ugh.
We need to learn to do the same. I know it sucks. Politics isn't sexy. Uh-huh. But unfortunately, if we don't do it, man, they're just going to run us over.
No, I agree. It's survival. And I want all the listeners to learn from you about street art.
Yeah. That's going to work.
What would they learn?
I think Alex thinks that his Hail Mary is street art. Because he's talking to a street artist.
Okay.
That's why that happens.
Yeah.
He's a chameleon. He's molded.
He's very, very susceptible to literally anything anyone says on his show.
Whatever you're talking about is the most important part of the info
war. Absolutely.
So, that thing that Sabo-
Buy pants that you know might not fit.
No, that's ages. That's old school information warfare. Random pants. What Sabo's saying, I think I kind of actually agree with for a different reason. I think that these Republican conservatives that he's talking about, they do just want to have a barbecue. And they want to ignore that the comfort that they're enjoying is built on the back of exploitation that's usually racist and sexist in nature.
Right.
And
liberals, to confront that is a nightmare to them.
Which is what the liberals, that they're angry about, not all liberals certainly, but the liberals that they're particularly mad at are the people who have gotten to the point where they have realized, oh shit, our comfort is based on basically a whipping boy, a metaphorical whipping boy in terms of underprivileged classes. And for us to just sit back and enjoy a barbecue while we know that that's the case is the moral equivalent of actively supporting that system.
Yeah.
And therefore, they are very politically motivated.
Absolutely.
So I agree
if
with
you
them.
Support.
I agree
if
with
you support
them.
Policies that are essentially white supremacist in action. Whether or not they are white supremacist in, what, expression?
Right.
You are still a white nationalist.
Yes.
Like, that is what you are doing. You are condoning it by your inaction.
It reminds me of that, that old thought experiment. You know, the ones who walk away from Amalius, I believe is how you pronounce that.
Would you rather fight a duck-sized horse or a lot of horse-sized ducks?
No, that's a theoretical, question. That's a would you rather.
Would you rather, would you fight yourself or fuck yourself if there was a clone? I believe that's
the classic
thought experiment.
I just remember.
That was Plato, I believe.
I just remember this, from, ethics class I took in college. Just this idea of like a society that's perfectly, comfortable and utopian. At a certain point, everybody, when they get to a certain age, it's revealed to them that the reason that their society is so comfortable and utopian is that one kid is being beaten like a dog like a dog that gets beaten. You know, just a, it's,
all right.
It's a savage thing. That kid lives a miserable existence, but because of that, everyone else gets to be super happy.
Okay.
And the idea is
the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Type.
Right. The idea is, would you walk away from that idyllic community and that society, knowing that it's built on the back of brutal abuse of an innocent person?
Right.
And Alex wouldn't.
Of course not.
No.
No.
And conservatism right now absolutely
would. Is that a
would.
Thought experiment or just like an elucidation of what it's like to be black in this country?
And that might be what's behind it, but that's, yeah. that's, it's an old school thought experiment, that I think every philosophy student ends up running into.
Right.
But I remember it from an ethics class and.
That's basically the, would you save five people by purposefully killing one? Or would you, through inaction, wind up killing five people?
Somewhat. It's not as cut and dry as those just like simple utilitarian arguments.
Yeah.
But who cares? I have bigger things to talk about
Good
Sabo.
Point.
Sabo accidentally slipped. Sabo fucked up.
Okay.
In this next clip, he talks about a billboard that he defaced, which is fine. I'm not a narc. Like I told you, I don't give a shit. You want to deface billboards? Have at.
Well, so long as he doesn't deface Saba, the great Chicago rapper who put out a wonderful new album.
Saba versus Sabo.
Yeah.
We need him to go against Soba.
The noodles?
Yes. So, what you've got here is he's talking about this billboard that he defaced. And what he did is there was a woman on it, I believe a figure skater. I can't remember the exact visual. But it's a picture.
Kerrigan.
It's that picture of Al Franken, who looks like he's groping that lady. Remember that whole whole thing?
Yeah.
It's Al Franken from that picture blown up and put on that billboard. Now, here's where he fucks up. He says that someone contacted him and told him to make that billboard. Sabo is admitting that he had advance notice that this story was coming out, which is incredibly fucked up. Listen to this clip.
I have people that call me up and say, hey, I have someone in the State Department that's going to go speak against who's the one groper guy?
There's Senator, so many.
Well, anyways.
Well, most of them are gropers. You talking about Weinstein? Or?
No, the comedian, Al...
Al Franken.
Franken.
Yeah, Al Franken. Yeah, I get phone calls saying, hey, man, I have someone in the State Department. She's going to come out pretty soon. So we coordinate. I did the Al Franken billboard with them, and it's like, and we affected some change. How much change I had a part of, I have no idea. I just know that that went viral. It went national, and that took a lot of balls, man. I was laying in bed going, oh, my God, someone's going to die tomorrow morning. I told my crew, if you don't want to do this, tell me now. And they said, nope, let's do this. And we practiced this over and over and over again until it became a dance. And we got that thing up there in like 15 minutes. It was the most beautiful thing in the world.
He had very short notice.
Like the Lambada.
He had very short notice from somebody.
In the State Department?
That might have.
That seems a little bit self-aggrandizing.
But that might have just been.
Seeing as how there's nobody in the State Department because Tillerson didn't hire anybody.
But that might have been just someone bluffing or like trying to make the thing seem more important than it was.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Here is a probable coincidence. Quote from this CBS News article. Hours before the allegations against Senator Al Franken became public Thursday, Trump ally Roger Stone seemed to know they were coming.
God damn it!
A Twitter account linked to the former Trump advisor posted a quote from Stone in the early hours Thursday morning that suggested he expected allegations involving the Minnesota Democrat to go public. Quote, Roger Stone says it's Al Franken's time in the barrel. Franken next in a long list of Democrats to be accused of grabby behavior. Later in the morning, story came out, Leanne Tweeden, went on to, accept Franken's apology and, say an investigation doesn't need to happen. It's all very suspicious stuff. I have very little doubt that the person who contacted him and told him, hey, overnight we need to get this billboard up was one Roger Stone. And because Sabo is so, he's an acid casualty. He's like a 50-year-old dude or so. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, he does not sound like somebody on the cutting edge of street art.
Say what you want about his art. I can't critique art. I don't have that skill set. But what I can do is draw weird parallels between someone who is not media savvy, accidentally saying on Alex Jones's show that someone contacted him and paid him to make this billboard on short notice, clearly, basically overnight. Roger Stone tweeted 12 hours before the allegations came out. It seems like there's probably, maybe.
Is Roger Stone everywhere?
It might be a
coincidence. Where is he not?
It's probably.
Why is it that we find Roger Stone behind so many different bullshit things?
It's probably a coincidence.
No, I don't think so.
You know what though?
I think Roger Stone might actually control everything.
When he said someone in the State Department, it made me think of Steve Pachenik. But I don't think that Steve Pachenik and Roger would have been collaborating on that. I don't think that's the case. I think it's Roger throwing around State Department references.
Yeah, why not?
Or whatever.
He's Roger Stone. He'll throw anything around.
This is a massive, massive slip on their part. Like, the idea that street artist Sabo knew about the Al Franken stuff before, and Roger Stone, InfoWars, narrative specialist, I don't know.
Trickster god.
Executive producer and dirty trickster.
Yeah.
Knew about it in the same time frame.
Roger Loki Stone.
Roger Propagandist Stone.
Yeah.
Getting a street artist to make propaganda for him about a story that he knows is gonna come out. It just seems too likely. It's crazy.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Is there any way that we could turn Roger Stone's powers for good?
No.
I feel like there's some kind of Darth Vader narrative that we could pull Roger Stone into, right?
No.
Like, he has to die in a tragically heroic way, the redeeming of the anti-hero.
No.
Come on, man. No.
Now you're going Star Wars on him.
I know.
Anyway, we got one more clip of Sabo real quick before we got to take a break. And here he advocates that everyone get into street art.
They're coming after everybody. We are fighting for our lives. We must get out of cyberspace and get onto the street and then fire back from the third dimension into cyberspace. I don't know who did that here in Austin, but it's terrible.
You know, it is. And you know what? All you have to do is get your butt up on one billboard and you'll realize what to do and what not to do. The first one's always scary. The second one's kind of scary. But you're right. Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, he wants nothing less than a civil war, and he wants to destroy us.
Uh-uh.
He said that straight out, pretty much.
Stupid.
And you know what? He's not going to destroy us. Twitter is going to go the way of MySpace.
Probably not. But I do like this idea of, like, hey, all your listeners, just get up on billboards. Your first one's going to be weird, but then it'll get better.
You might fall.
Who knows? So we've now had Sabo make a very startling admission. What's up?
Third dimension back into cyberspace.
Right.
Alex is
getting heady.
Gotta do it.
Right. So we had to take a quick break because I got to use the restroom. But let me tell you, when we get back, we have one of the lamest propaganda piece/special reports from Millie Weaver to discuss.
All right.
We generally don't talk about her all that much on this show.
I'm a big fan of anytime Rainbow Snatch shows up.
We need to discuss this one because it's next level stupid.
Okay.
And we will be dealing with that in just about 2 minutes. We will be right back. Thank you, folks. All right, we're back.
All righty. There we go.
All right.
Here we are.
So, Jordan, as I mentioned, it's time for us to take a look at a special report from Millie Weaver.
Uh-huh.
Now, what happened, I guess, actually, I don't need to explain anything. I think Alex will set it up perfectly in this next clip.
Joining us is Millie Weaver, our intrepid reporter who loves to work on the road with her great cameraman and editor, Gavin Wentz. And last night, she called me very excited. Video's now on InfoWars.com. Me Too movement assaults conservative woman for asking questions about the Clintons and their history of sexual assault.
Oh my, what a scoop. So what do you think about that so far?
I don't know. I think it's a valuable thing to ask about. I think for too long they have been protected by so many influential powers that is an issue that should be brought up and challenged. Like the fact that It is a men thing. It's a dudes thing, not a party thing, not an ideological thing. It's something that men should be, fucking regulated about.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I support this now.
Oh, man.
I assume it's not gonna go well.
Man. Well, man.
Oh, it's not gonna go well?
This is not go well, no.
Oh boy.
What ends up happening, I don't remember exactly how these clips go, but I think in this first clip of Millie's actual report, we get to hear the question that she asks. I'm not entirely sure. This might, I don't know. This might be just Alex talking. I need to label clips better.
Okay.
Basically, Tarana Burke got really upset when I asked about the possibility of the hashtag MeToo movement becoming too partisan and being used as a political weapon, and if, you know, essentially that was going to take away from the mission, which is to help victims of sexual assault, which immediately then she turned nasty, was like, oh, well, I wonder who you voted for, and just suck her mob audience on me with this mob-like mentality that all started cheering her on and, you know, supporting her in trying to bully and intimidate me into silence.
So I would say a couple of important things. And The first, I think, is the most important. And what she is accusing, because it's not a question, what she's accusing this hashtag MeToo meeting of being is too partisan, or that it's being, you're turning it into a partisan thing. That is what Millie is intending to do by going there and asking this question.
Don't point that out.
She's literally doing the thing that she's accusing them of.
She has no concept of that.
It's bananas.
Impossible for her to understand.
Philosophically, it is mind-blowing because it's not inability to realize this.
I disagree. I think they are legitimately too dumb to examine their own actions.
No, because this is a setup. Like, this isn't, like, we talk about good and bad faith all the time. This is the definition of
stupid
bad faith.
Stupid v. evil.
Well, no, not even that, because I think those words are too, loaded to even, I think good and bad faith is much more relevant and important.
Uh-huh.
Because she didn't go there with a video camera to act, like, she doesn't live in fucking Akron. She flew to Akron to go to this fucking speech. And she did so specifically in order to hopefully antagonize a response that she can get on video that will feed into the narrative that she wants to push.
Well, it's just like James O'Keefe. All he wanted to do is find out the truth, Dan. It wasn't about
any
kind of partisan agenda.
Time out. Can you imagine a scenario where she goes to Akron and she's like, here's my question, and Tarana Burke is like, that's a very good point, and I think there's a conversation that needs to be had, and we are having it, and I think that you might just be missing some pieces of it, and it's actually just, like, not great video. And then she goes on Alex's show the next day and is like, hey, it's really amazing. Actually, I went there, and they were willing to have a dialogue, and it's, like, there's
And I got free coffee from Starbucks for being a conservative.
There's no way that works. That doesn't fly for Alex. That doesn't fly for what she gets paid to do.
No.
She went there in bad faith in order to ask a question that was meant to antagonize and meant to accuse.
Yeah.
It was not meant to be like, hey, I care about Juanita Broderick. I care about Kathleen Willey. I care about these people that Bill Clinton has allegedly sexually assaulted. I care about that. It was, what the fuck's wrong with you? Why don't you care about Democrat assaults? And stuff like that. And I think that's intellectually dishonest. Because I think.
Yeah.
I think. Like.
Not just that. Not just that. But it is just like Alex whenever he pulls that bullshit, where immediately after some sort of tragedy happens, he has no concept of, like, I feel empathy for the victims. None of that.
No.
It is purely, I am going to aggressively make this worse.
Yeah.
That's my entire goal here, is to give, I could not give less of a shit about who he hurt. All I want to do is hurt him. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with, and it's not even retribution. It's not even I want to hurt him in response to the damage that he's caused. It's just, I am irrationally driven by Larry Nichols' bullshit.
Yeah. And we'll hear a bit of her actual presentation of the question in a little bit, and we'll see what's what.
I assume that it is very fair-minded, and she's got an she's willing to listen to opposing viewpoints.
If I know anything about Millie Weaver, it's that she is about sincerity. She's about the new sincerity.
Great wigs. Hugely into great wigs.
She should have a podcast on Maximum Fun. She's so into the new sincerity.
Yep. She sounds right.
So
yep.
She is all about just the truth and vulnerability. And is not at all creating a complete bullshit, version of things in order to serve her purposes. So in this next clip, she talks more about what she had to endure, at this.
Oh, man.
At this place. Just
so much.
In the name of journalism.
Tragedy.
And a mob of protesters came out. I wasn't even sure what it was about because their banner said, take back
the
night.
Do a little bit of research.
Real quick. What she's.
I wasn't sure what it was about.
Right.
Go to the Facebook group.
What she's describing here, and it's going to come back and play out later, what she's describing is she's setting up a narrative because she's edited her video. And she wants to make it seem like she asked this question, got kicked out, and she walked out, and all of a sudden there was a protest going on that wasn't going on before.
Oh.
It's a mystery protest.
Where did it come from?
Right.
So as I'm approaching it, I start getting flipped off and having women yelling at me. And that's when I realized, wait a second, this is the #MeToo movement. And they were probably observing in a separate room because they were streaming the video to other rooms. And that's when I realized, oh my gosh, you know, these women are irate. They're very mad at me. Essentially, Tarana Burke gave them permission because they had all established rapport with her.
What?
She did a really good job throughout the meeting, the speech, to make everyone establish rapport with her and seeming like she's just trying to help
is
everyone and she's just this.
Well, I mean, I could say this Tyrannus Burke, Tarana Burke.
Nice.
And these women, we haven't played the video yet.
Tyrannus. It's kind of that
segment. They're just so vicious. They're so hateful. And you're a woman. I guess you went in there without your camera person by yourself. And then
yes,
they've obviously been trained and ready for somebody to try to come in. And this is how they act, like vicious, entitled, arrogant piranhas. The universities have turned into these anti-free speech bullying dens.
So that's sort of like they've built the narrative of what happened. But we should really be like, we should not make bones about what this is about. This is what this is about.
If you support free speech, then you need to support InfoWars. If you support Millie and our crew valiantly going into these den of aggressive authoritarian cult members and being assaulted and yelled at and hissed at and our camera they attempted to take. I guess steal.
We can't
if you stand with us, then we need your financial support. We've got products you need.
Yeah. So he uses all of this bullshit that Millie is spinning out of this story.
Do you know why the cameraman wasn't there? We couldn't afford to pay him because you haven't bought enough.
Millie's weirdo husband, Gavin, couldn't come along.
If you had signed up for AutoShip, we would have gotten all of this good shit on video. But because you didn't, we're going to conjecture about it in a way that maybe supports exactly what we already wanted to say.
Maybe. So I believe this is the clip of the actual question being asked. Pay very close attention.
Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey, and Juanita Broderick all came out with sexual allegations against Bill Clinton decades ago. They originated this idea of coming out against someone who's powerful. But they came out before these other women came out against Harvey Weinstein. Now, why were they excluded from the #MeToo movement?
They were excluded.
So very quick, important.
Because they weren't fucking, yeah.
Her response was, who said they were excluded?
Right.
Which is a fair question. Here's Millie's response.
They were not included in the Time Magazine article.
I would say ask Time Magazine about that. That's an editorial issue.
Seems like the Me Too movement wasn't in control of what the Time Magazine people.
They're not
people.
The editors of Time.
Yeah.
This is a misdirected question. You're angry about something and you're clear. Like, it's clear what you're doing. This isn't about a sincere question.
article. None of the women were interviewed. Are you worried at all that the hashtag MeToo movement may become too partisan and be used as a political weapon?
Okay, pause real quick. Back it up for a minute. They're saying, who did you vote for? So the whole point is, they're making it partisan. The woman marches over, starts trying to take the microphone. I want to point out, you went up, you asked the question, they gave you the microphone, you did this the proper way.
So this is where that, like, accusing your enemy of doing what you're doing is happening in real time. And this is why it's so easy, is because it's so murky. And it's really easy to bait someone into a situation like this. It's very easy for this collection of people who are just having a meeting about sexual assault to be painted as liberal or pro-left leaning by someone who is there specifically antagonizing for the right in order to push them in that direction.
Oh, it's so partisan. Are you worried that the Me Too movement is becoming too partisan, Dan? What if the Me Too movement doesn't vote for the guy who is relaxing protections that women need even more? Why would you think that they aren't as valuable in the Me Too movement? Is there any reason why the Me Too movement might be against the guy who is making the Me Too movement his enemy? Is there any possible reason? It's partisanship, Dan.
Partisanship.
It's clearly partisanship. It's not part of the very stated fucking objective of the group to fight against assholes who commit sexual assault.
Well, she works for InfoWars, and she's coming in to ask a clearly partisan question in order to paint partisanship on the group. And I mean, if I were to war game this, I know the reason is because some of the most valid criticisms and very sincere issues about Trump are related to sexual assault stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the most...
Do you mean all the sexually assaulting that he did?
Yes.
The fact that he raped his wife?
Yeah.
Might have something to do with that.
Yeah.
The fact that our president is a fucking rapist?
No, but doing this is deflection of that. It's in service of that. They don't care about this for any other reason than that. This is just a set piece in order to work towards that sort of defense.
Right.
All this is out of control. It's rampant liberalism run amok.
Of course. Universities.
So the Tarana Burke, when she's interacting with Millie, it goes on and she's like, well, I mean, if you want to talk about even earlier stuff, we got to talk about Anita Hill. And the crowd claps. And Alex in the studio is like, oh, what? He just asked her out. And like,
yeah, great.
No. And then he's like, if you want to talk about this stuff, what about Roy Moore? You know, and
he was a patriot.
Yeah.
Oh, what about the governor of Missouri? But don't worry about that.
But so what Alex...
Patriot.
How Alex responds to that is like, all they can do is throw back Republican examples. I'm like,
that's the fucking...
No, but who cares about that? That is what your bit was.
Yeah.
Millie,
pointing out examples where it was Democrats who did it.
When you came in, the accusation that you made was about people from a specific party... and you can't be mad that is the rebuttal.
Why can't you put it fucking together that it has nothing to do with party, and anytime you give a dude power, he's going to fucking abuse it?
Right.
I'm sure. If you give a dude power, there's a super huge chance he's gonna abuse it directed towards women because he's gonna get away with that shit.
I'm sure Louis C.K. was a very liberal dude. He seemed to be pretty liberal.
Oh,
I'm sure
he voted for every liberal politician.
He called Donald Rumsfeld
the
lizard on the Opie and Anthony show.
Donald Rumsfeld actually is a lizard.
It's possible.
That is a nonpartisan issue.
But you know
that's an anti-lizard.
But you know what I mean? Politics has nothing to do with it.
No.
And this is just disgraceful. It's nonsense.
It's an abuse of power.
No. I'm talking about Millie's behavior. And it's all disgraceful.
Yeah.
But
there's no winner here.
I'm talking about the propaganda.
Yeah.
Also, Prop Dude tweeted or put in the chat room, Mark Dice was skulking in the bushes with a petition. First of all, that's super funny for the image, but then secondarily really funny because I haven't seen Mark Dice in a while.
Oh, wonder
I
what
do
he's
wonder
up
what
to.
He's doing.
Wonder what's the Mark Dice man up
Some
to?
Some real bad street man pieces.
Too many. Dice, we're going to have to let you go.
Anybody?
It turns out you're really bad at this job.
Anybody who has not listened to tons of episodes of this podcast, I must restate, go on YouTube and just type in Mark Dice bloopers. It is not to be believed. It's the craziest stuff you've ever seen in your life. It's the least funny shit in the world. So at this point, Millie brings it. She's doing her. We've heard her ask her question, and she gets thrown out. And someone, it's unclear because the camera work is really bad. She's just has a phone doing it. It's either someone grabs the phone or it's made to look like she's being pushed.
She
or
probably
like that.
Just shakes it really hard.
I don't know.
Like, get out of here! Yeah.
I don't know. Because I've seen so many of those like external views of Mike Cernovich acting like he's being assaulted. And it's just three people standing behind him and being like,
she was flopping like the Champions League.
Right.
She was going to town.
She's like The Rock taking a stunner.
Right.
She's, flopping all over the place. So here's where she,
but I think that is kind of a crystallization of my philosophy on how you should respond to these people is don't bother. Like, there shouldn't have been a response to that. There shouldn't have been like, well, what about Roy Moore? There doesn't need to be a what about. There needs to be a bye.
Nah,
go.
I know. That was a
live.
But that's the in front of a live crowd kind of thing. You know that as a comedian.
Of course.
You don't want to show ass in front of a crowd.
No,
and,
of course.
And when someone's asking a question, sometimes your mind will go to just like, oh, this is a good point.
You're talking to, my philosophy with Heckler, like, I don't want a Jordan comedian destroys Heckler. I want, like,
you
want to
be
Jordan,
a Hofstetter?
Jordan is like, come to a wonderful agreement with the Heckler about how life should be, and then he moves on with the show. Like, that's my situation there. I'm not a
headline of the video, Jordan builds up Heckler.
Yeah.
Jordan helps Heckler actualize. It would not get as many clicks.
No, probably not.
So at this point, I've cut out a bit of stuff, but there's a point where Millie is like, hey, sorry, the feed cut out because someone grabbed the phone.
Oh, that feed cut out.
Which is a convenient way for her to cut.
Edit.
And so here's where she runs into the protest.
They want to get really rude and nasty when I ask them questions about the women that came out against Bill Clinton for rape. That's Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willie, Paula Jones. We've all heard the stories. They don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear about how, these women that came out against Bill Clinton were accosted and oppressed by Hillary Clinton. What is this? I'm literally walking out here, guys, and all of a sudden there's a protest.
So here's what
seems like you can't really disagree with that.
Here's what happened. After the speech, there was a march. She has edited it selectively to make it seem like she gets thrown out.
She walked out and then,
what's this?
It's
what's
a surprise
this?
Protest?
I guarantee there's like an hour of her sitting around waiting for the march to get going so she could create this.
She's got a lawn chair waiting for the parade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when the march comes,
I bet that march threw candy out.
When the march comes by her, people start flipping her off, which is, I mean, that's the cost you play.
That's a delight.
That's the cost to play the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a couple people who were marching did fuck up because they engaged in the same way you're saying, like, just let it be.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Go away.
That's what you should do. But they came over and, were like, telling her, like, why can't we just have a peaceful thing?
Right.
And the way that Millie plays it with the video is that the girl who's telling her, why can't we have a peaceful thing, is about the march, which would be crazy.
Yeah.
Because the way she presents it is this march just happened out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they come up to her and are like, hey, we're defensive about our march.
Oh.
When Millie hasn't said anything.
No.
When clearly it's referring to earlier, maybe an hour earlier, when all those people who were marching were inside at the speech and they saw her antagonistically ask a question that wasn't a question, it was an accusation.
Right.
And then leave while people were like, what? Fuck. What are you, why are you asking? Come on.
It's such a disappointment. It's so disappointing.
It's not
to
a disappointment.
See that.
It's delightful for me because the propaganda is so fucking thin.
It's weak.
It's so obvious to see through.
Right. But you, but,
people get tricked by this.
But they can't see through it. It's a foregone conclusion, which is the whole point that I make is that to Millie Weaver, if you can't recognize that these people are trying to not make just their lives better, but your life better as well. Why did 57% of white women vote for Trump? Like, that kind of bullshit. Like, if you're doing this, if you can't recognize, if you're living in a right-to-work state and you're against unions, they're actively making your life better.
But those dues, man. Those dues.
Oh, those dues.
Boo.
You know what? The problem with union labor is they don't work hard.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, really exciting. That last episode of The Dollop this week got into something we covered.
Oh, yeah?
I think this is one of the first times we've beat them to half a story.
Okay.
Because it got into the Chinese Exclusion Act.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Talked about in the Endgame cover.
Yeah, suck it, Dave Anthony.
Oh, no, but the reason that I thought about that was because of the, obviously, union stuff. I don't know. Who cares? Anyway,
who cares?
We beat them to the Chinese Exclusion stuff. I don't know why I'm petty about that.
I think there's a lot of reasons why you're petty about
so,
that.
So, no, I'm not. Great show.
Yeah.
So
it is. Love it.
In this next clip.
Listen to every episode.
In this next clip, Alex implies that the protest that Millie Weaver walked into happened just because Millie was there.
Of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's always the same litmus tactics. She's 20 feet away videotaping a protest coming by that was there in case there was a counter protest. They call in the Praetorian Guard. Right on cue, they start marching up. You're going to see that they know Millie's there. They've been activated to come out of the parking garage. And then they come over and say, why can't we just be peaceful? And then the assaults start. Why can't you be peaceful? Why don't you get out of here? And that's what they'll link arms, try to run you over. They do the same training. These are authoritarians. Let's continue.
Let's. So
I like the idea that people have protests just in case there's a counter protest.
Oh, no. The way he kept talking was troubling because he's like, they got activated from a garage.
Oh,
so that's
garages.
To say that all of these people were waiting in a garage, and because Millie Weaver was there, they're like, oh, fuck. Millie got a flight to Ohio. We thought that she fucking lives in Austin.
We
no!
have been preparing for Millie Weaver to come to Ohio for so long.
Right. But
and the moment she does, we're ready for it.
They never saw it coming, but because they're so scared, they had them waiting in the garage.
Oh, of course.
And every single time there is a speech anywhere around the country, they're just waiting in that garage for Soros to get on he's got a sidekick. He chirps them.
He's got a sidekick.
He chirps them on the sidekick.
He chirps them.
Yeah.
Beep, okay.
Beep, beep. Hey, get out of the garage. Get out of the garage. We got a Millie Weaver sighting.
Naturally, he starts it with, what's up? Because, of course.
Or he has code, like, just gets on the sidekick. Caw, caw, caw. And then it's time to go.
Right.
Get
right.
out of the fucking garage.
Of course. Of course. That makes sense.
This is desperate. This is so sad. Because it's very clear. Like, if you watch it, the whole video, you can. It's there. It's very.
Nah.
You know what?
Pass.
Here's something that I keep struggling with. Like, I'm dismissive of this stuff because I did watch it and, like, I know that this is edited and very fake.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want us to get into the same position that we get into, or that Alex gets into, where it's like, hey, you can check it out yourself. You know, like, I don't want to discourage people from actually checking.
Right.
You can.
That's a good point. I respect that.
It's a weird line to walk. I will tell you it's boring in the same way that, like, reading a lot of these books that he references. It's boring.
Right.
You can read.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Right.
It's a tough position for me to be in.
Well, I mean, the hard part is we are coming from a place of, please, please go read this stuff, because you should absolutely cross-check. Like, we're going to be wrong eventually.
Yep. No, we have been wrong.
Yeah, we have been wrong.
And we've like, made apologies.
Yeah, well, of course. And it's very much like a situation of please cross-check us, because we want to know when we're wrong.
Also,
that's something that's really important to us.
Also, thank you, Mary Jailer. We appreciate it very much. You gave a little cheer. I don't know how this Twitch shit works in terms of like, but it seems like.
You kids!
It seems like,
kids with your twitching!
It seems very nice and I appreciate it. I don't know. we are old,
what
but
are you,
young.
What are you doing? You Snapchatting on the Twitch? What's happening?
Shit.
What's happening?
We should do the show on Snapchat.
I don't know if that's a thing.
Can you do that? I don't have Snapchat. Just seems like a place where people solicit nudes.
Yeah.
I really don't know what's going on there. As much as I love nudes, I should know about it. Anyway.
That's a great sentence. As much as I love nudes, I should know about Snapchat.
Yeah, but technology has left me behind.
You poor bastard.
Anyway.
You'll never get those nudes.
In summation with the Millie stuff. We have a situation where it's very clear that you have an actor in the part of Millie. I don't mean actor like she's a crisis actor or anything like that. One who acts.
Yeah, yeah. She's hamming it up.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying she is the antagonist of this.
Okay.
She is the one who is doing the acting in the, the action.
Right.
She goes and, she has bad faith.
She's the antagonist.
Yes. She goes specifically in order to create some sort of, response in this meeting that was existing, totally fine without her being there.
Right.
And knows that what you need to do is you need to get some footage. Alex needs to fucking buffer the show. The Sandy Hook shit is going on. He needs help.
Yeah.
He needs to fill time. Doesn't want to talk about that for half an hour. And so she does by accusing me too of being too political by bringing politics into it.
Ugh.
And then staging this idea that there's a protest that materializes out of nowhere because she's there.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that's an invalidation.
It's like in the movie Inception, whenever you start to threaten the dream, all of the dream people start to attack you.
But that's a rhetorical invalidation of the right to congregate and the right to protest.
Like, well, you don't have the right to protest if you disagree with conservative positions, Dan. That's fucking autocracy. That's authoritarian.
I'm looking over at the chat room, and Sharks wants to know our view on the gays. Big fans.
What?
I don't know.
That's a weird way of putting that, Dan.
I don't know. Big fans.
Yeah.
They're great.
All for it.
Everyone's great. My point about Millie.
That would be,
I gotta not look at the chat.
If we maintain so many liberal positions and yet somehow we're against gay marriage, that would be bananas.
Or even like, not even gay marriage, just be like.
I think it's unnatural and against God.
Ask me. Ask
okay.
Me.
How do you feel about, homosexuals?
I don't believe it exists.
We're the most liberal Saudi Arabians there are.
Not a thing.
Look, socialism is correct. I think trans people should have absolute protection and most hate crimes. Oh, that bullshit about the bathroom bill? Also no gays. But that bullshit about the bathroom bill? No gays. But for real, you should be allowed to identify as whatever it is you want.
Also, skin color says something about your character. That's a, you know what?
Phrenology?
You know what?
Phrenology, not debunked.
You know what? We might have accidentally stumbled into a really good sketch bit that would never work because we can't write sketches.
Right.
Like good characters.
Right.
Super progressive on the new stuff.
Super progressive.
But way behind on the old stuff. Like all the stuff that has already, like all those battles have already been fought.
Right.
Just like, nah, I think racism is a real thing. I think that stuff's real. But at the same time, I think that's the
inverse of that Drew Michael bit about, conservatives going so far conservative with their hatred of Jews that they wind up advocating for progressive policies.
Yeah. I fear that we've gone too far based on this,
fair enough.
This,
Let's move on.
Twitch comment. I need to stop looking at the chat room.
Yeah.
So Millie Weaver shit's done. It's embarrassing and it's bad. But
as is her wont.
At this point, Alex gets a call from, his boy, Zach, his fake intelligence source.
Okay.
Who he...
Space Command!
He very clearly has to say...
You know what the Me Too movement is against?
Space.
Space.
Hate it.
Hate Mars.
So last we heard from Zach was on the Friday show where Alex turned on Trump.
Uh-huh.
And Zach was backing him up on that, saying right. It was fucked up.
Right.
And also saying that this was a war for Mars.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to get us back onto the planet. They're not trying to let us go to the space. This is everyone's trying to fight for Mars and the moon.
Yeah.
And what have you.
So I assume he's taking his principled stance and he is bringing it back another week later in order to make sure that Alex Jones is held accountable.
See, your bit is good and I appreciate that, but you jumped the gun because I wanted to say other shitty things about Zach.
Okay.
Also, the last time we also the last time we saw him on that Friday, he did not know who the Joint Chief of Staff was.
Not a good idea.
He thought that McMaster had not been fired.
Still thought it was Rumsfeld.
And thought that possibly McMaster was the Joint Chief of Staff when he was the National Security Advisor.
Right.
All of those things should be something that the high-level intelligence source
right.
should know. It's kind of invalidating that he doesn't know those things.
It kind of seems like it would be his literal job to know.
Yeah. So here's the other reason I know that Zach is fake as fuck.
Yeah.
Besides all the stuff he says.
Right.
Alex ends the interview with Millie Weaver by saying, like, well, I'm going to get to Zach. He's only got a couple minutes. He's in a rush. And then...
Where is he going?
In the middle of Zach's interview, he goes to commercial. He blows hard for about 2 minutes about things he's mad about
sure.
while Zach's waiting on hold. And then he does okay. he does a read for a product while Zach is waiting on hold.
Okay.
So the idea that your high-level intelligence source is coming in and he's got information that you got to get to on a short time frame.
Oh, man.
And you've done three things to kill time while he's waiting on
right.
hold. It leads me to believe you don't take him all that seriously.
He's got to jump on Mark Rich's plane.
We actually do find out where he's got to go.
Oh, yeah?
And,
Aldi?
Dude. It's so fucked up because it's like, I don't believe any of this. He ends the call with like, I know you're on your lunch break.
it's lunch like, break.
I don't
well,
know.
Well, by federal law, you do have to give people a 30-minute lunch break.
Right, but I feel like high-level intelligence people probably work on a little bit more of a swinging schedule than people who are like, if you're not back at your desk in 30 minutes,
man.
You're getting written up.
Uh-huh.
I would assume.
Maybe high-level intelligence people get a little bit of leeway.
Look.
You put in late nights if you're in high-level intelligence.
Yeah, you gotta, but that's so fucking stupid. That leads me to believe that, like, okay, so what, alright, who cares?
Where are you going?
I was about to make a Lost reference and
yeah.
I realized.
Oh, you were gonna, okay.
Anyway.
Alright.
In an early season, Locke is pretending.
I was about to do it. And now I'm going to do it.
Locke, role plays as a general, okay. and, there's a whole situation where he works at an office and.
Like a Dungeons and Dragons
situation?
He
works at a low level situation in
okay.
an office and it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, guys.
You are so reluctant and yet you still want to get it out.
Here's a great idea. One of the new
okay.
possible rewards.
Is we'll just do a podcast about Lost for a week?
Yes. Okay. No, not for a week. We do the whole series.
No.
Once a week.
There's already plenty of podcasts that do that.
But not done by us.
That doesn't make sense.
I know a lot about Lost.
I don't want to know anything about Lost.
And there is the fun we...
Fair. That's a good point.
Chime in at our Facebook group. Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant if you want us to do that
go
horrible
home.
Idea
go
for a show.
Go home and tell Locke you're brilliant.
Anyway, yeah. I feel like what we have here is a situation where Zach works a day job of some sort, and he did need to get back to his desk, and he had this time that he could make a call to Alex,
Here we go.
Yeah. So the only thing that he wants to do is sort of reinforce Alex's narratives. He's already doubled back in the same way that Alex has doubled back from the Trump is fucking us over into like, oh no. new narrative.
He's a secret super patriot.
Right. It's mysterious how this high-level intelligence guy seems to blow in the wind the exact same way that Alex does.
It's a lovely coincidence for Alex.
Probably just because Alex is so in touch with things. Anyway, here's what he wants to say.
And the plan is, this is it, folks. I don't know if anybody's looking into this, but this is definitely the plan. Nikki Haley is looking to run in 2020 with Mike Pence. They're hoping that in this raid, and they have probable cause here, if they go after this witch hunt, to actually impeach Donald Trump, if they could pull it off. And they're planning internally for Donald Trump to be impeached and Nikki Haley and Mike Pence to run on that 2020 ticket. You could guarantee
it. And notice Saturday Night Live and all of them for months are acting like Pence is perfect. He's the guy. And now the headlines are today that Haley and Pence are trying to line it up behind the scenes. Very, very wicked behavior, if true.
If true. Absolutely, and very dangerous behavior. I mean, listen.
Well, notice how the media always says Pence is perfect and Pence could do no wrong and he navigated it perfectly. They're going to burn Pence as soon as
monster.
He flushes Trump. He better not be stupid.
Notoriously pro-gay conversion therapy, Mike Pence. The media gives him such a pass.
Alex, to your question of whether I've noticed the media saying that, Pence can do no wrong. Hard no.
Yeah.
Hard no.
Yeah.
Have not experienced that.
Also, I don't, well, one, we've never had a vice president for a sitting president, campaign with a challenger in the primary for that president.
That would be weird.
That would be bananas.
No, because what the way they're presenting it is that Trump would get impeached.
Yeah.
So
then Nikki Haley would become president?
Vice president, I guess, because Pence would become president.
It kind of seems
like they're...
And then
in 2020, it would be Pence Haley.
It would be Haley-Pence.
Pence-Haley.
They'd
flop it?
I think he kind of is implying that Haley is running for president with Pence as her vice president.
But he's also saying they're going to get Trump impeached, and that would mean that Pence
would already
be president. There's no fucking way, regardless of what you think about any of these people, there's no fucking way that you end up with an impeached president so the vice president becomes president.
Right.
Then 2 years later, there's an election, and the president, who has been the president for 2 years, because of the impeached president, is like, I
gotta go back to vice president.
I like it
better.
I like it.
Well, to be honest, I bet he would like it better.
Sure, but that doesn't
play. Pence has such a cushy gig right now.
Right, but that doesn't play.
No, it makes no sense. It would be, look, in the chaotic dark timeline that we live in, that would be the best. That's the only logical outcome to our weird ass world we live in.
I am currently the president and I am campaigning for a lesser role.
So it doesn't count as a term for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to campaign with Nikki Haley as her vice president. She's going to serve two terms. Then I am going to campaign with Paul Ryan as his vice president. Okay, here's a good question. How many terms can you be vice president?
I think, I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
That's a really interesting question that I've never considered.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever come up.
Can you just be vice president forever?
I think everyone's kind of just like, meh, who cares?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm super interested in that. I want that now. Look.
Vice president for life?
Yeah, Grover Cleveland serving two non-consecutive terms. That's fantastic. But Mike Pence being vice president for life? I don't even know how to deal with
that. Well, now is the time that you get to do some research and I can take a seat.
All right.
So at this point...
I know a lot about vice presidencies.
I don't know anything about
it. There you go.
So at this point, Zach leaves.
Because of course he does.
He's done with his lunch break, and he's got to get back to the data entry that he does for a living.
Right.
And so Alex finally is left without any more guests. Millie Weaver's gone.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't have Sabo, the great street artist,
poor
anymore.
Poor Sabo.
And so he's finally got to get to Sandy Hook. He's got to talk about it.
Oh, no.
And so here is his position.
Oh, boy.
I learned that they know I'm so truthful, and the globalists respect me so much. And I'm not saying that as a power trip. I've only learned this recently, that they believe everything I say.
Sure.
Great.
And I'm right most of the time. I'm wrong sometimes.
All the time.
But the whole Sandy Hook secret is this.
2017.
And I'll go ahead and say it all on air. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. They thought, because I backed off saying I didn't think all of Sandy Hook was real,
All.
I never said they were all crisis actors. I never said nobody, you know, died. I said I could see how people believe that.
70-30.
Because people have been lied to so much, but they edited those tapes together. But if I thought really it was all staged, nobody died, I'd say it.
You did.
You did. So we have you on tape a lot.
From 2015, I can pull up the entire list here if you give me just a second. So I was caught with my pants down a little unawares. All that's bullshit. Everything he's saying is bullshit. Everything he's saying is bullshit.
I feel like he needs to have a disclaimer of like, now I'm going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. My lawyer strongly advised me not to do this.
Right.
Or they didn't because they love the billable hours.
So on January 13th, 2015, if you go to knowledgefight.com, we do have a link up to this. You could find the entire episode of his show on video. But again, we've played this clip a number of times, but this is it just bears repeating. He got a call. This is on January 13th, 2015. This is what he said.
But what I'm curious about is, do you think that there's a new level of sophistication with a lot of these false flags where they plant a couple of pieces of, you know, flimsy evidence that get everybody talking and steer them in the wrong direction?
When you're trying to decipher cloak and dagger, dirty tricks, it's pretty hard to do. It's just that when you learn that they were funded by Western funding, then you learn that it was the same Amarola Lockheed connection underwear bomber, then those are big red flags that they were patsy provocateurs. The classic MO has been followed. And then, it kind of becomes a red herring, you know, to say the whole thing was staged because they have staged events before. But then you learn the school had been closed and reopened, and you got video of the kids going in circles in and out of the building, and they don't call the rescue choppers for 2 hours, and then they tear the building down and seal it, and they get caught using blue screens, and a email by Bloomberg comes out in the lawsuit where he's telling his people, get ready in the next 24 hours to capitalize on a shooting. So Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured. I couldn't believe it at first. I knew they had actors there, clearly, but I thought they killed some real kids. And it just shows how bold they are that they clearly used actors. I mean,
so
there you go.
That. Yeah, that's solved. I mean, that's clear. That is what you said.
And
that was your that was your position consistently for a very long time. And I'm sorry about the audio
and
being
still,
much higher on that.
But still is. Just refuses to say it as directly.
Right. So I, when it first came out that he got sued by Sandy Hook families, I thought, well, this is tough because of the time, frame of it. He did most of his brutal work, long ago. A lot of the stuff that he's done in the last year or two, which is within the statute of limitations for defamation claims, is much more insinuation based. And I've come to the position where I don't really understand the law. So I don't
Fair
know.
Enough.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This could go either way, but it is really sad. The situation, for everyone. And it's real sad, the narrative that he's spinning, because it's all lies.
Yeah.
There, in that clip, he said he didn't say that there was actors. If he believed that, he would say it. You
right.
did say it consistently. Right. You said it over and over again. And now in this next clip, from, the 18th, in present day, he says this.
So about a year after, I started saying, you know, I can see how you think nobody died, but you know what? I think it happened. And I'm not going to sit there and look at parents and say it, you know, that it didn't.
So that he's saying a year after the shooting. The shooting happened in December of 2012. So that would have been 2013.
Yeah.
That's at least a year and a couple months before the clip that we just played.
Right.
School shootings happen. Are the Democrats seizing on it, blaming the Second Amendment? You bet. And everybody's heard me that's been listening since then. A lot of you have been listening for 5 years, some of you 20 years, but most of you have been listening, you know, just for a year or so. You've heard me, what, every week? They got articles saying, I say nobody died, and they've always got new ones. Jones just said nobody died last week, and they'll show some edited 3-year-old clip or 4-year-old clip.
From 2015.
So I get what happened. They saw me kind of entertain it.
Didn't.
It was viral all over the internet, hundreds of millions of views just on our videos discussing it.
Nah.
YouTube deleted him. And then I started saying, you know, I think people died there. Because I was getting threatened by people that said nobody died. And being saying I was involved. And I went, this is a little bit schizophrenic. And so Paul, who I really trust, and he's just as smart as I am, smarter, he said, you got to get away from this. Don't even entertain it. They're nuts. Don't even have debates. I went and told my crew. I said, I don't tell you what to do most of the time, but I said, just stay away from the Sandy Hook. This is like 4 years ago.
My lawyer strongly advised me.
And the media saw that, and they went, he's weak. They think I'm like a sociopath like them, that I tell the truth. And so they went, oh, we got him. Jones is saying it happened, and stop saying it didn't. He backed off. We got him. He admits he's wrong.
So he's saying that 4 years ago, he went to his staff and told them to stop looking into Sandy Hook.
What was the last time Mr. Pachenik said that it was?
Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know. He's done that over and over again. But like 4 years ago, we're looking at April 2018 now, so that would be April 2014. This to me was a complete... that to me was an affront to honesty.
Yeah.
Because we did a long investigation of 2015 and we saw a bunch of stuff. Like there was a school shooting at a college in Oregon. And on the October 20th, 2015 show, Alex said this.
Also, was Oregon a false flag like Newtown?
He's, saying specifically that Newtown was a false flag in order to bolster his narrative about Oregon being a false flag.
God, do you know what?
So he also here. No. Wait for this. He told his staff to not look into Newtown and not look into Sandy Hook 4 years ago, which makes it very difficult to understand how this happened.
But now, your uncle John Doe, Navy SEAL, retired FBI agent, works for a successful security company. I had missed this episode of the Nightly News back on June 4th. And then again last week when you did an update. And then I heard you talking about it yesterday. I knew that we'd sent our reporter Dan Bedondi there for days to cover the city council hearings about it.
He had sent a reporter to Newtown in July of 2015 in order to cover hearings about it, in order to juice up it being a false flag. If he had told his staff not to cover it in 2014, why is he sending someone in 2015? And at that event, or when Dan Bedondi was out there, he ran into Rob Dew's uncle, which we covered back in the 2015 investigation, and Rob Dew's uncle didn't say anything. That was suspicious. He just said, I've never seen anything like this. This is weird. That sort of thing. But yep, that doesn't stop Alex from trying to get Rob Dew to manufacture a quote about it.
He wasn't saying a lot, but he's like, you know, Robert, this is strange. I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it. And he's been in court cases. It's not like his first.
But you said he also said it doesn't add up.
Oh, yeah. Nothing adds up. It adds up.
What was his exact quote? Because I want to put it in an article.
I would say take that from there. Let me explain something.
You're a reporter.
Right.
You're a news director. This is your uncle. It's incredible for you to quote somebody. Go back to the memory. What did he say?
I'll think about the exact words, but from what I remember, because I was in the car driving while I was talking to him. I had an earpiece in.
I understand.
Talking to him. Because I wanted to get something out of him before we did, because we did the show that night on the 4th, that day on the 4th. And I wanted to talk about it. I said, hey, I've got this short interview with you, you know, and you're saying it's strange. It doesn't add up. He's like, I've never been in a court proceeding like that ever where people don't know anything.
That quote that he's given could very easily be rationalized as being like, I've never been in a court proceeding that was about 20 murdered elementary school kids. This is embarrassing. Like this level of lying about what you have done in the past as a journalist, in quotes, as a newsman, it indicates that you're covering something up.
You know what's brutal? What's brutal is that wouldn't be admissible in court.
No, I mean, based on the defamation
laws.
From what I understand. But again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not entirely sure if they can't be used as background. I'm not entirely sure. But, like, when you lie to this level, you're lying for a reason. You're covering something up, and it's that you know you did this shit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we should be prepared for this emotionally already. But you know what this is about. And this is how he closes it. This is how he closes his discussion about his Sandy Hook position.
So it's a whole thing by the Justice Department, by the Clintons, by the globalists to kind of re-kick all this off.
Okay, this is in present day. This is from 2018 episode.
And that's what this all is we can't call Alex racist. That doesn't work. Can't call him a Russian. That thing's falling apart.
Nope.
We'll just say he's mean to the victims of a mass shooting.
He is.
And they said that. You saw him a few months ago about what happened in Florida, and they tried to get me kicked off the air with that. Didn't work because it wasn't true.
To be fair, you had Mike Adams on repeatedly, a guy who created a website specifically to bully a victim of that shooting because you disagreed with his politics. Also, you lied a whole bunch about his timeline, pretended that you had evidence that he wasn't at the school because you were misrepresenting comments that he made about getting on his bike after school in the evening to go back to the school. So fuck you. You don't have any leg to stand on here.
Fuck you.
So they're back again. Now recycling what I didn't really say from 5 years ago because they think you're stupid. But AP got it right.
No, you think they're stupid.
They actually quoted me saying, you know, that Jones for years has says he did think it happened and that he'd love to have the parents on to discuss and have a real discussion about guns, blah, blah, blah.
So blah, blah, blah. AP got it right. I'm going to go to this AP article right about now. So this is an AP article, Sandy Hook parents, family file suit against Alex Jones. What he's referencing is Jones responded to the allegations in a YouTube video saying the families are being used by the Democratic Party and the news media, and he believes Sandy Hook, quote, really happened. Jones invited parents who lost their children onto the show to have a real discussion about guns. He said he believes the lawsuits will be thrown out. That's not them saying that you actually are right. They're just reporting what you said.
Yeah.
It's not, they didn't get it right. They're just reporting on your response.
Yeah.
Because it's a news organization.
And then it goes into what AP said that the lawyers said I said, which isn't even in the suit, which isn't even what I did. So that's what this is trying to try me in the court of public opinion. But here's the deal. I'm going to go on to the end, as Churchill said, whatever the cost may be. And we've got record traffic. We have got people buying a lot of product.
So I'm going
to
say
the way it squares up and looks, we're going to be able to beat these suits, get them thrown out. We're just having to get a war room together, in-house counsel, so I don't have to worry about it. And we just move on. And we got to countersue all the people, obviously, for the anti-slapback provisions.
Of course.
And we already filed one of those last week in D.C. I'm doing what I said I'd do because we got to let people know when they do these, we got to hit them back so that, you know, obviously we stop it. And there's going to be more coming.
Yep.
And if they can get us, they're going to use it as the precedent. All these other media cowards that, you know, want to stay out of this, you're going to destroy yourselves by staying out of it. I want to thank everybody that has stood with us, and I appreciate the audience, Drudge Report, my family, the great crew we've got. Thank you all. Speaking of that, we've got some of the biggest sales
God
ever.
God damn it!
50% off the Real Red Pill, 50% off Alpha Power.
I didn't see that one coming. God damn it, Dan! I legitimately did not see that one coming.
I even set it up that we should all be emotionally prepared.
I was emotionally prepared for him to lie. I wasn't emotionally prepared for him to pivot into an ad.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
That's what it's all about, baby.
He still gets me.
Yeah, I know.
Still fucking gets
me. It's pretty impressive.
Fuck!
Yeah. So, Alex, you're a liar. You might not be able to be punished for it, but
God damn.
Go fuck yourself. So this brings us to the end of the episode. I really think that the most important thing that we covered on this, which is not as glamorous or interesting as a lot of this other stuff, is that Sabo admitted on air that he had advance notice of the Al Franken situation,
yeah,
which matches up perfectly with the timeline that Roger Stone had, and they both have connections to InfoWars. So, anyway, I got to pee again, so we got to wrap this up.
All right.
If you want to check out us, we are at knowledgefight.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
Correct. We are on Facebook.
We are on Facebook, Dan. You could follow us or find us or subscribe to us on the iTunes.
That's true. You can do that. Also, we have a group called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant on Facebook.
Right.
Where you can tell us what you think our next incentive thing should be.
Yeah.
We appreciate any suggestions. And all your donations. You make this possible, and we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Dan, I got the last one, and it was, according to you, very petty. Mm. So I suppose that means that it is your turn today.
I shall say, Millie Weaver, go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.